ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There was a question given in Kon Banega Karolpati, who will become Karolpati? And they said, what is the correct name of the founder Acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness? So they said, Abhay Charanaravind Charan Prabhu. Then Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Then His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami. He said, choose one of them. And if you choose correctly, then you get some 40,000 rupees on the end of the question. So which is correct? Is it Abhay Charanaravind or His Divine Grace or Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada? You have to choose only one of them.
His Divine Grace.
Yeah, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada has achieved divinity. So anyone who achieves divinity, we say His Divine Grace. The other person who gave the kick was Amitabh Bachchan. He said, well, you have scored 50,000 rupees. Okay. So, purport. The actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature are visible in this life. For example, some people are very happy, some are very distressed, and some are in mixed happiness and distress. So, for example, some people are very happy, some are very distressed, and some are in mixed happiness and distress. This is the result of past association with the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Since these varieties are visible in this life, we may assume that the living entities, according to their association with the different modes of material nature, will be happy, distressed, or between the two in their next lives also. Therefore, the best policy is to dissociate oneself from the three modes of material nature and be always transcendental to their contamination. This is possible only when one fully engages in the devotions of the Lord, as Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Mam chayo apya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sargunan samati peitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotion service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the spiritual platform. Unless one is fully absorbed in the service of the Lord, one is subject to the contamination of the three modes of material nature and must therefore suffer from distress or mixed happiness and distress. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salapaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manodistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahaganaru Natanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakandikam Sacha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Bandhaya Degirim Yatrapatam Hamvande Paramananda Madhavam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead as the form of Satchitananda Vigraha, transcendental bliss, knowledge and eternity. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him who turned the dumb into eloquent speakers and enabled the lame to cross the mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Param Bhoja Madhupe Bhyo Namo Namaha Katanchita Shriya Desham Swata ഗന്ധഭാമ്പവേദേ കൃഷ്ണകർണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പതേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാന്താനമോസ്തുതേ ദത്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനോസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരി പ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപാദലോകസ്യാദുപാസിന്ധുഭ്യൈവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശിവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. Translation: O blessed demigods, we can see three different varieties of life which are due to the contamination of the three modes of nature. The living entities are thus known as peaceful, restless and foolish, as happy, unhappy or in between, or as religious, irreligious and semi-religious. We can deduce that the next life these three kinds of material nature will similarly act. So we find that this conversation is taking place between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. Both of them have arrived at the time when Ajamil was about to leave his body. Yamadutas appeared saying that, well, this person has committed all the sins. There is nothing left out in the scripture which has not committed, and therefore he requires to punish. And what do? They throw their Yamapasham. Now it's interesting, Yamapasham is material rope, whereas the soul is spirit. How can something which is material pull the spiritual? So it is called the subtle body. So therefore the rope can reach, or the passion can reach, only the subtle body. So when the subtle body is extracted, along with that we find both the soul and super soul come out. Now whether the soul comes out first, or the super soul comes out first, or the super soul comes first and the soul follows, which one is correct? They come simultaneously. So when the Yamapasham reaches the subtle body, when it's trying to pull out, then both the soul and the super, they're good friends, thick friends, so therefore they both come out simultaneously. Now here is a lesson for us. Yamapasham can reach only the subtle body. If you don't have the subtle body, then Yamapasham can't reach us. So the whole technique of Krishna consciousness is to see that that subtle body is removed, or the subtle body is dissolved. And the only process by which one can dissolve the subtle body is by Krishna consciousness. So someone who practices Krishna consciousness sincerely, then slowly and gradually the subtle body disappears. So at the time of departure, the gross body goes to the cremation, there is no subtle body, and therefore the soul returns back home, back to Godhead. It goes back to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. And we say that to err is human, and this is a real story I'm about to tell, which has happened to my own mother. And she repeated throughout her life so many times, and therefore I thought in this context I can pick up that what has happened to her. She left, of course, 6 months back due to COVID, she left her body. But this incident happened to her when she was at the age of about 10 years. So that means that about 82 years back, this happened, this incident happened to her in my native place. She was down with cholera And then she was seriously ill at that time, and the Kaviraj, my grandfather himself was a Kaviraj, an Ayurvedic doctor, and he said maybe she's not going to be alive. And he was also an astrologer, and he looked at her chart and he said that if she survives today, she'll live. But if she doesn't survive today, then she's going to pass away. And at that time, according to my mother, the Yamadutas appeared and then took her life. And as she was taken, suddenly she found the conversation taking place between the Yamadutas. "Hey, I think we seem to have brought wrong Sita, because the mother's name is Sita. We are not supposed to get this Sita, we are supposed to get another Sita." And then suddenly they dropped her. And then she fell from wherever she was. She hit the body and with a loud scream, she woke up. And at that very instance, in the next lane in the village, another name by Sita, she left the body. So they were wondering, like humans, whether even Yamadutas commit a mistake. But however, dynamically, they make the correction. So it's not like us that we commit the mistake and then rectification, whether it's possible or it may not be possible. But in her case, instantaneously the rectification took place, and therefore after that, my mother survived for another 82 years. So she left her body at the age of 92, a couple of months back. So why I'm saying this is that we can take that sometimes even higher ups can commit the mistake, but they can make themselves the correction taking place. And here we find a beautiful conversation is taking place between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. And this is the Vedic culture. This is the tradition of Vedic culture. That you try to win over the other person through reasoning, through logic, through appeal, through shastra, through pramana. It is not by force. And this tradition we find, here we find that the Yamadutas are having a conversation with the Vishnudutas. And the recent history also, we find that Shankaracharya had conversation with Mandala Mishra and Vidya Bharati, and he defeats them and they accept what Shankaracharya was saying. And before that we find during Janak Maharaj, the conversation took place between Astavakra and the Brahmanas who were in the courtyard, and Astavakra defeats them, and then he becomes the royal priest to Janak Maharaj. And we find the same tradition in Sripad Ramanujacharya, who defeats the Mayavadis, and the trend continued in Madhvacharya, and it extended to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who we find that he defeats a scholar like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then we have Baldev Vidya Bhushan defeating Ramanandis. So therefore, this is the glorious tradition of Vedic culture. It is not by talwar, which some religious sects they try to do, or by throwing money, which another community does it. So therefore here, there we have in India, by preaching in Krishna consciousness, we are trying, this con is trying to bring the persons on the main fold or mainstream of Vedic culture. But at the same time, we have other communities through talwar and through money, the conversions are taking place. Of course, through money and talwar or the sword, whatever conversions are taking place, it's happening on a massive scale, so much so that Today what we find, we call as Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, they were all part of India, and the residents were all 500 years back, they were all part of the Vedic culture, but in this 500 years, so you can say roughly 300 million Pakistan, another 200 million Bangladesh, 20 million Afghanistan, and equally a sizable number, I think about 50 or 60 million in India. They were all originally part of Vedic culture, but now they have moved away and became Islamic. But the quality we find, the transformation takes place through conversation, through affection, through love, is glorious. And therefore, the Vedic culture is a culture which one should imbibe or embrace, so that it gives not only the higher aspect of spirituality, but even the moral level, we find that tolerance, patience, forbearance, some of the wonderful characteristics are visible in persons who practice this culture. And so here we find the Yamadutas were not able to really pull out Ajameela because Ajameela has uttered the name Narayan. And this is once again the Vedic culture where the names of the Lord are given to the individuals. Sita, Rama, Hari Prasad, Sri Hari, Janaki, they are all the names we find in the previous generation. People used to give the names. And all those such wonderful names have been given, but having come to the Western world, instead of using that name as a source of preaching by reading Ajameela's pastime or understanding Ajameela's pastime, they tend to change their names. That was the first question was asked in my office. Would you like to change your name because it's too difficult for us to pronounce your name? I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm going to retain my name and you'll have to call me as Chandra. Whereas because Chandra is very significant, Chandra Shekhar, my full name, it represents Lord Shiva. So therefore, I said, I won't change my name. Whereas my friend, his beautiful name, Radha Krishna, has become Rahul. So at least if he had called himself as Krishna, like people calling Ajameela calling him Narayan, all the colleagues would have benefited in the office. They would have purified over a period of time. But he calls himself as Rahul, neither he is getting benefited, nor the colleagues are getting benefited. So if you do find a situation where you are required to change your name, please change your name to Narayan or Krishna or Hari, so that that's the way of preaching to others. Indirectly, you are helping them to purify themselves. But I find another friend of mine, his name is Padmanabha. Somebody, Lord who has got the lotus navel, but he has changed his name to Paddy. Padmanabha has become Paddy. Is that the meaning is short, easy for them to call? But such a beautiful name the parents have given, and you could have used that name to preach others, but instead he has changed to Paddy. So therefore, is once again that we should give names to our children after the names of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, or the following the Vedic culture, and that the beauty we find in the current generation of parents in ISKCON, they give their name, the children, their names, the Lord. Of course, with that, they are not given the opportunity to spiritual master to give the holy name of the Lord. So the master can add only Dasi or Das. Isn't it? Krishna. So if spiritual master is Das, then you become the holy name. So then, O best of the day. So here we find Tata Anyatra anumiyate. Anumiyate, it is inferred. So we find that there are three ways of understanding the knowledge, or three ways of understanding the Vedic culture, or to receive the knowledge. One is the pratyaksha, which is the direct perception. Second is anumana. So here it is anumiyate. It is anuman, or it is a past experience. And the third is the shruti, that is by hearing from. So we call it shruti pramana. So we find that based on what has happened in the past, we can see and we can predict the future. And for example, the weather conditions. Based on what has happened last year around December in Melbourne, we can reasonably predict what is going to happen or what is happening in December or January, February. I'll give a simple example based on this. In Hyderabad, every year in the month of June, on 7th or 8th, for the last so many years, we call it as Mrigesara Pravesham, or the onset of the monsoon. It will take place on June 7th or June 8th. And on that day, there is a family called Gowda family in Hyderabad. For the last 100 years, they have been administering one special Ayurvedic medicine for treating asthma and other allergic reactions. Does anyone know about this? So, this family is known to give that medicine only on June 7th or June 8th, that the onset of Mrigesara, that the onset of the rainy season. Every year happens that day, and persons or people who have asthma problem worldwide descend in Hyderabad. About 40 to 50,000, sometimes up to 100,000, they come, they stand in the queue to take a special medicine. And how is that medicine administered? That medicine is administered by taking a particular type of fish. It's a small fish, maybe the size of 1 centimeter, very tiny fish. And the mouth of the fish is delicately opened, and they place that medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, inside the mouth of that fish, and then he drops that fish like we take a tablet. And it is said that these patients, they have received medicine through the modern medicine or through alternative systems for a number of years, but they continue to suffer the problem. But when they take this particular medicine on June 7th or June 8th every year for 3 years, then their asthma, their allergy problems all disappear. So it is predicted based on the previous past, as here the verse is saying, they predict the next, this year also on June 7th or 8th, the rain, first rainfall occurs in Hyderabad. And then the Dowd family, till then we don't know where they are, but on that day they are near Charminar, the old city, and they sit there, and then the police come, they arrange the queue, and then the fishermen, they come, they get their small fish, and all that medicine is given free. It's not that they charge anything, nothing is charged. It's only the fisherman who charges 10 rupees for the each fish, the small tiny fish, and the medicines administered. So therefore we can see, based on the behavior, equally based on the behavior of a person, we can predict the behavior of the person now. In the past, how he has behaved, we can predict the behavior now, and we can predict the behavior in the future as well. And on, in this regard, I think I must have said earlier in one of the sessions, Bhanu Swami Maharaj once said that there was an American lady who was from nowhere in a, I think 35 years or 40 years, suddenly started saying something which no one could understand in the family. And then it went on, and suddenly she would wake up from sleep or doing some other activity, enters into that emotion and starts weeping, and in that she starts saying, murmurs something which people did, or family members did not understand. So therefore the family members take her to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I'm not able to understand, but he said, next time when it happens, please record, audio record whatever she's saying. And they do the audio recording and give that audio recording to the doctor. Doctor hears the audio recording. He too could not make out because it was not in English. But he had a friend in the university, the linguistic, and he gave that tape to that linguistic person. Linguistic person understand that language, goes to understand the language, and she, in that it is, I believe, Arabic language, she is shouting, do not close the cave, do not close the cave, I'm dying. And it closes. So they said, why is she saying that? And that too, she is an English speaking person, but she is saying something she herself does not know. Later on when you ask her, she does not know what she said, and she can't speak that language as well. So then they went to the archives, whether in the history of mankind, tracing back the last 5,000 years, did anyone say these statements? And to their surprise, they found that some 2,500 years back in Egypt, as they were building up those pyramids, one of the, I believe, where the workers were working, suddenly the windows started closing, and the slab, whatever it was closing, and all the persons who were there inside that place, they died. And at the time when they were dying, they were all shouting at him, don't close the cave, don't close the cave, we are dying, we are dying. And the same statement she was uttering now, not in consciousness, but in a semi-conscious state. So what it means, Maharaj said at that time, whatever was the consciousness 2,500 years back, she still retains the same consciousness even now. So therefore, here in this verse we find that the way the person behaves now, can be, you can see him behaving today and also into the future, because the consciousness does not change so easily. So we find it's not only the modes, as we know that the peaceful is representing the mode of goodness, the restless represents the mode of passion, and the foolish represents the mode of ignorance. So it's not that somebody is fixed in a particular mode. It is these modes are they are competing with each other. The same person at one time could be in mode of goodness, and other time he could enter into mode of passion, and then mode of ignorance. And we find historically many examples which can be taken. So one example which we find in Bhagavatam is that of anyone? We can take an example of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was on the Bhava platform. It was not an ordinary platform, but on a Bhava platform. Almost the prema, the final stage. But even at that stage, the mode had impacted him or has affected him. And the result was he fell down from that platform. So he had to take the birth as a deer, and then Krishna's mercy, protection by the Lord, he remembers what has happened, and so therefore he was hovering around the ashram in the forest, and the next life you become Theravada, and then become Black Spore. So that means that the moths are so strong on a person, they do not lose their hold so easily. So we find that some amount of loosening starts when? From which stage?
Vava.
Vava is very fine. That far.
Nishta.
Sorry?
Nishta.
Yeah, from starting, the moment you start uttering the loosening start, but a significant amount you can see from Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivruti. So once you cross Anartha Nivruti stage, then you find the loosening of the hold of the moths take place. Till such time, we will be experiencing, the devotees will be experiencing the moths applying on them. So therefore Lord Kapila speaks about this aspect of devotional service in third canto of Bhagavatam. Somebody performing in mode of goodness, somebody performing in mode of passion, and then in mode of ignorance. So in this canto we also have stories like Bhartruhari. This is the video I have seen recently by Nitai Sethi Mata. Has anyone seen that small video? Pride for fall come before the pride. But Bhartruhari was a lesson we had as a child. Bless you. Bhartruhari, we had a lesson as school going children, and he was considered to be a wonderful king. And but not, maybe not many of you know Bhartruhari, but it is said that his brother is known, who was called Vikramaditya. And Vikramaditya is known because of the story of Betal. So Vikramaditya and the Betal, especially the TV serial, so therefore the whole story was highlighted. So Vikramaditya, Bhartruhari wrote, is called, we had a lesson called Niti Shatakam or Bhartruhari Shatakam. So in that we find something like what has been said in this, he says that. But before we take up Bhartruhari Shatakam, Bhartruhari himself, like Bharat Maharaj, he gives away his kingdom, he gives his royal palace, everything, including his wife. Some say that he behaves his wife, some say that he gives up his wife, but he makes his younger brother Vikramaditya the king, and then leaves the palace and goes to the forest for doing tapasya meditation. So he was on that platform where he could very easily give up the material comfort. But yet, while taking bath in a river, at one time he had placed, he was on a saffron rope, so therefore he placed his saffron cloth on a branch hanging from a tree just on the bank of the river. As he came out, he saw another sannyas equally placed his orange robe on the same branch. Now Bhartruhari became agitated and he started fighting with that person. He said, how is that where I have placed my cloth, my saffron cloth, that you are placing your saffron cloth? At that time, a simple villager comes to that pond to take water, and he sees these two sannyasis fighting on that, and she says that you both are sannyasis and you're fighting on a piece of cloth which is hanging from the tree, that this space on the branch belongs to yourself and you do not want other sannyasi to place this piece of cloth, this orange rose. At least our king Bhartruhari, who was so great that he left everything and then he walked the forest. You are worse than them, or we are worse than him. She did not know that one of them happens to be the Bhartruhari. So what it tells as that the person was in mode of goodness, but the mode had agitated him, and in shame he walks away from that place. He says, what am I doing here? That having rejected the kingdom, I'm fighting for a small space on the branch of a tree. Now we have written Shatakam. Shatakam is 100 verses. So Niti Shatakam, he writes verses. Niti is on moral grounds. So therefore, one of the verse he says is that you can extract oil from the sand. You can extract oil from the sand. You can get water from a mirage. You can get water from a mirage. But you cannot convince a foolish and obstinate person. You cannot convince a foolish and obstinate person. So I found that to be very interesting. Here it says that someone who is foolish, so the person who is in more of ignorance, such a person cannot be convinced so easily. He continues to be obstinate and he continues to be in his own foolish world. But how such a person can be lifted? That's what Prabhupada is saying. Therefore, the best policy is to dissociate oneself from the three modes of material nature and be always transcendental to their contamination. So whether somebody is in mode of goodness, mode of passion, or mode of ignorance, it doesn't matter, because they're competing with each other, and the same mode, maybe a person may be in mode of goodness, but some other time, as we have seen the example of Bhakta Hari, they can enter into mode of ignorance. So the best thing would be to dissociate ourselves from the contact of the modes itself. And how do we do that? Prabhupada gives the quotes the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Mamchayo Abhyamicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sarvana Samati Tetan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance. Now please note, one who does not fall down under any circumstance at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the spiritual platform. Now how is this possible? Because we are all performing a devotional activity. And we can take example from Bhagavatam itself, the example of Bali Chakravarti and his sister. When Vamanadeva walks into the courtyard of Bali Chakravarti, where he was performing yajna, seeing the beauty of Lord Vamanadeva, his sister becomes attracted, and in she develops an affection for Vamanadeva. And what was that affection?
Motherly affection.
She develops a motherly affection, and therefore she wanted to give that affection to Vamanadeva. But as the events unfolded, she observes not only this Vamanadeva takes away her brother's kingdom, but also ties him with the rope and drags him. And that makes her angry. So her affection from Lord Vamadeva shifts to the affection of her brother. And then she develops the second emotion. And what was the second emotion?
To kill
Vamadeva. So you can see that both the emotions, the first emotion was the affection for Vamanadeva, and then the second emotion was to kill Vamanadeva. Now Lord, when he scripts his play, because he is the script writer, he is the dialogue writer, he himself plays the role, and therefore he directs the role as well. So therefore he is one in all. So I call him as, like we had a movie in Telugu. What was that movie? Karana movie. Dana Veera Shura Karana. Yeah. In that Dana Veera Shura Karana, N.T. Rama Rao plays the role of the Karana. He himself writes the script, he directs it, he does the photographing. He is the Karana, he is the Bhimsen, he is the Krishna. Everything he has done it. So similarly here we find Krishna writes the script, the transcendental script, and he plays the role and he directs it. What does he do? He says, okay, here is a person who wants to show the motherly affection, but at the same time wants to kill me. So therefore, what does he do? He gives her the role of Putana. So next slide. So she comes as Putana, and in Putana's role, she smears her breast with the poison, and then as she approaches Lord Krishna, but Lord Krishna, he looks at the service attitude. What was the subject of Putana? That she wanted to give as a mother the affection, the milk. And milk is considered to be, according to Vedic scripture, it is dharma or it is liquid religion. So the religion means, dharma means, it is the Lord's own rules and regulations. So therefore, she is trying to follow the religion or the dharma, and therefore he looks at her service and he takes that service. But at the same time, whatever the contamination, because he is Bhavagraha Janardana, so therefore he takes away the contamination, but just takes her bhav, her service attitude, and then awards her the role of Dhatri in the spiritual world. So similarly, when we perform our devotional activity, our devotional activity could be contaminated with the modes, with the poison of the modes. Say, a pujari is on the altar. When the pujari is on the altar, if the pujari is not performing as with that right attitude, the puja is not doing, then he is not actually performing puja to Achavigraha, but he is performing puja to the elements, to the marble stone, to the idol. It is not to the Lord. So therefore, what is important is that I may be performing puja, my attitude should be right, my service should be right, and therefore what happens when my attitude is right and the service itself, it goes to the Guru Parampara, and therefore in the Guru Parampara, by the mercy of the Guru and the Parampara, my attitude, my service gets purified. So therefore it reaches the Lord, and what does the Lord do? As a reciprocation, purifies gradually my consciousness. So the more I get myself involved in devotional activity, then the more I find with the right attitude, the cleansing is taking place, or the reciprocation by the Lord is taking place. And then we come to the Brahma Bhutyaya Kalpati. Then we come with Samadhi Taita, that we become transcendental to the modes, and therefore we come to the Brahma platform, and on that platform the actual devotional service begins. And then such a person will not, one who engages in full devotional service, then such a person will not fall down from that platform. So therefore, summarizing, there is a possibility that Yamadutas may commit mistake, beware, but because they can get themselves corrected dynamically. This I've heard not only from my mother, but my mother gave another example as well in the village, that two instances she records having the same mistake committed by Yamadutas. So therefore, if we do not want to go to, or if we do not want Yamadutas to approach us, then we should purify our subtle body, or we should dissolve our subtle body. And the only way to dissolve a subtle body is to practice Krishna consciousness. And therefore Srila Prabhupada says that it's We can predict based on the past how the future is going to be. It's not going to change so easily, and we have so many examples, like we have seen Bhartrahari as an example. And the only way to overcome or transcend the modes is by practicing Krishna consciousness. And in that, whether our attitude should be right, our approach should be right, and then our service should be right. So therefore, when we perform our activity, we should show that sincerity, that genuineness in our consciousness. By the mercy of Guru and Parampara, we find that we become Lord reciprocates, and in that we become purified. On a final note, this I have seen Amol Prabhu from Delhi. It was a small 2 minutes, 3 minutes video, because it was in Hindi, and he says there that what devotional service have you done? Chanting. What chanting have you done? Hare Krishna. So most of the time you are sleeping. Anyway, you said you have done some chanting, 2 marks given to you. But unless you get 100 marks, then you won't be able to enter the spiritual world. Then he says, I've heard your Bhagavatam class regularly. Are you sure that you have heard Bhagavatam class regularly, sincerely, or you were sleeping? Anyway, you said that you have heard Bhagavatam class, another 2 points given to you. So 4 points. But then how about other 96 points? So this is what Yamadutas are asking him. You have done what, only 4 points? So unless you get 100 points, you can't enter the spiritual world. What else do you have? He said, I am part of ISKCON. I am in the Shankar Shila Prabhupada. Okay, award another 96 points. 100 points, we got it. We will go to spiritual world. So this is our shelter, Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah, any questions or any comments?
Sorry, Prabhu, I didn't get it. You said that because belonging to Srila Prabhupada's movement, you have the 96 remaining points?
Yeah, he said that, okay, you have, unless you get 100 points, you cannot enter the spiritual world. So far, you have shown that, okay, you have done some chanting, the quality of chanting, the teacher gives you only 2 points. Then you have attended Bhagavatam classes, the quality of your attendance gives you another 2 points. Then he says that, okay, you have practiced Ekadasi. What Ekadasi? Your food, your whatever prasadam you are taking on Ekadasi is much more richer than the ordinary days. So you can't be really fasting. But even then, at least you have not taken grain, 1 point given. So therefore, 5 points you have received it. But how about the 95 points? Then he says that, well, I am under shelter of Srila Prabhupada, and whatever little is possible I am trying to do on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. There, because you have taken the name of Prabhupada, you are given the 95 points. So initially you have got 5 points because of chanting, 2 points, then Bhagavatam class, 2 points, 1 point for Ekadasi, 5 points, but having taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada, you get the 95 points. So therefore you get totally 100 points. Now you are able to enter the spiritual world.
My question is, what means taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada? Because by taking shelter in Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet doesn't mean I neglect my, the quality of my chanting is poor, or Bhagavatam class is poor, or just
so what it means is that I am trying to do sincerely what is possible for me, and by doing that, even though I am doing within the modes like Putana has done it, that she, her bhav was taken, a service attitude was taken, and Bhavakaran Janardhan Krishna has awarded her the Dhamri role in the spiritual world. Similarly, I am doing whatever is possible to me, and taking the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, taking the shelter of Parampara, taking the shelter of Guru Maharaj, and because of that shelter, that contamination part is taken away, and therefore your service attitude is given the full score because of the shelter, and you return back.
Still, take a misconception or to take it for granted. Okay, I'm taking shelter, I'm a member of ISKCON, and so that means I'm guaranteed that I'm going back to Godhead. But that's not
the No. The concept, the principle is that you are doing your best. Whatever you are in, you are deepening your shelter does not mean that, like Prabhupada said, that okay, I've got my father's photo, my mother's photo, and my dog's photo, and the spiritual master. It is not in that sense that we try to do whatever is possible to the best of our ability in a given situation, and yet there are any lacuna, anything is unfulfilled. Part is to be completed, that part will be taken by the process or by the parampara, and therefore you will come back home.
In that sense, for example, that quality of chanting that you mentioned, that you are chanting Hare Krishna and you get 2 points, it doesn't match, or that doesn't, it's not compatible with what we said, taking shelter in Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada said at least 70% we have to endeavor, and that, so it means that 2 point mark, because whatever you are chanting, or that doesn't make sense, at least to my understanding.
No, it is. We should. It is being said by Amor Prabhu, who is the is one of the president or is the president of Noida Temple, I think. Okay, and he is saying that look, you should. It's not saying that you do whatever chanting you want to do, you will pass the score. No, on a lighter vein, he is saying that look, you are doing chanting, but the chanting is not effective. You are doing Ekadasi work, that Ekadasi is not effective. You are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not effective. So on the lighter line, you are saying that you improve on this part, that is the first part. Then when you see, if you are not, and then you also have the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, which will pull you up to the transcendental world. So these two things, it's not that, okay, you don't do chanting properly, you don't follow the vrata, or you don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, you do not make an effort to change your consciousness, and still you will be able to go to spiritual. No, that's not the point. It is trying to address a situation where you feel, yes, you are doing your best, and yet you fall short. That shortage is fulfilled by Srila Prabhupada. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what is that verse? Ananyento chintayato maam. That is, okay, I carry what you have, what you don't have, I'll try to give you. So it's in that context that it means said.
I think I got the point that the only thing that a humble request is clarify the point, what that means to take shelter in Srila Prabhupada. Or what that means to be under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Because it can be easily misunderstood that because I'm a member of ISKCON and I'm doing my best, so-called best, because we have to be very sincere how we are practicing the movement of the process itself and how we can honor Srila Prabhupada, taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, so to speak. That means serious interior.
Yeah.
So, that way, yes, Prabhupada will pull us. So that is my humble request. In order to avoid that misconception, like, okay, I do my best, so-called best, and Prabhupada will do all the rest.
So No. It is. We have said that we have given the example pastime of Putana. We have taken the example of when I do my service on the altar, it is what intention, what emotions, with what feeling I do that. Otherwise, it is not Achavigraha Puja, but it becomes an idol worship. So therefore, all those I am displaying, but still there is some lacuna, and that lacuna, Prabhupada. Prabhupada as a merciful grandfather, he take care. It is that context.
Definitely, but with that example of that devotee that you mentioned, when he said, okay, you are doing some chanting, 2 points out of 100. By that, it's just, if we can infer that the quality of that chanting, in order to get just 2 points out of 100, that means it's not a good endeavor. And the same way, if you are listening Bhagavatam class, okay, another 2 points, that means the person who is practicing or so-called listening the Bhagavatam class to deserve 2 points, it's not that he is doing his good, his best. So in that sense, we can infer that that practice of that person is not the best that that person is capable of. So for that reason is my concern. No, that example doesn't present a proper figure what that means, that my engineer and Prabhupada will help me, will help or pull me to go back to Godhead. Because with that example, in order to receive 2 points out of 100, that means I'm not doing my best. Okay, 10% or 20%, I will say, but 2%, that is my concern, the figure. That means we're thinking, okay, Prabhupada will do the hard work, and I because I'm a member of ISKCON, I'm guaranteed to be in the spiritual world of the future.
If I am a member of the ISKCON, Mataji, I should follow what Srila Prabhupada is saying. Otherwise, I am not a member of ISKCON. If I am deviating from that, I am not a member of ISKCON. So this is being said by an exalted devotee like Amogh Prabhu to encourage the participants that please buck up, please become serious. And so on one side become serious, the other side do not become disheartened, because many devotees, they come and say, we are doing what we can do, still anarthas are coming, what can be done, what can be done, what can be done. So in that context it is said that, okay, you have to buck up yourself, but at the same time do not lose hope, because we have a shelter, and that shelter will help you to transcend this path or cross this ocean. So it is not to say that you can be easy, you can be casual, and you can be relaxed. That's not what the intention is.
Yeah, I definitely understand, but we have to be very careful how we present this point, no? Because many people can get confused easily. No? Because again, the way how it's presented, I'm stupid, so I'm getting confused. So like me, many perhaps, but no more of you got the point, but for me it's confusing. It doesn't represent the proper philosophy of our Srila Prabhupada. Again, it's my stupidity.
Take him, God. Thank you, Mataji. Any other? Yes, Prabhu.
Actually, Prabhu, another kind of looking is the same when one gets part of the most of material nature. When does a devotee reach another ability, and can you elaborate on that particular stage, another new situation?
See, anartha nivritti, anarthas means that which is not artha. And that artha, it means that quantitative, if you want to look at asas, it is the kama krodha madha moha matsarya. So look at one, it is not others who can judge, we asas, we can judge asas. Or somebody who is observing, you may be a spiritual master, or another devotee who is observing you carefully, he will be able to say how far your anarthas you are losing. So your desire, whether your desires have changed from matter to the spirit. Kama, krodha, mada, moha, envy. Somebody is unhappy, whether you become happy, or somebody is happy, you become unhappy. Somebody is rich, say, I can also be that rich. Somebody is poor, you find you think. So there are material qualities, whether how far you have refined those material qualities. And it is within your consciousness. And not only refined, but consistently you are able to display them. And that one of the ways you can display, or one of the ways one can observe, is that the purity of consciousness. And purity of consciousness reflects in simplicity or in humility. You can observe a person's humility consistently in difficult situations, not in favorable situations. How does a person react? How does a person respond? This is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. A person who is Sthita Prajna, how does he behave? How does he walk? How does he talk? So that should be revealed. Is that making sense?
Yeah, it is. But I still have meta level isn't got a whole clarity on that. It's just that.
Yeah, so therefore what it requires is close counseling. Someone should sit with in whom you have trust, in whom you have faith. You should interact with that person closely and reveal your heart. So then the person will be able to help you how far you have moved in that direction. Because for many devotees, Ananta Nivritti is a major block. Unless that block is clear, or one surpasses that block, the next stage is not easy to come forth. And more details you can observe in the book called Mana Siksha by Raghunath Goswami. If you have time, please read that. If you want, that will help you to interact with other devotee in whom you have faith. Because you need to interact, you need to talk. Only then other person will know what is going through in your consciousness. It's not just one incident based on that we can say that. It is it's a counseling part, and I think ideal person would be your own spiritual master with whom you can talk. But if that is not possible, then close devotees in whom you have faith, because you are revealing the secrets of your heart. And when you are revealing the secrets of your heart to another person, you should have faith in that person that that secret will not be misused by the person. It's only to that person you can reveal your heart, not to others. Then you will get the required answer. And what is to be done so that you can progress on this journey?
Thank you.
I think it's 9:10. We need to close the session now. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srimad Prabhupada.